Hello, Candace Lamb.
Hello, Amanda Wilson.
What is happening?
Not much. I'm still in shock that someone stole our plants.
Yeah!
And that we only realized today. How long have they been gone for?
Well, we noticed plant number one out the front. We had we bought these four really nice big giant...
Heligonias.
Yep, those ones. Mm-hmm.
In giant big pots.
Giant big pots.
They were very heavy. They
were expensive. That we bought lots of potting soil for them. We did it all ourselves. They were growing lovely. I don't even remember where they were. And then probably about...
Just like here.
Yeah.
There was three at the front.
We had four.
Yep.
12 months ago, we lost one. I think I noticed pretty much straight away because I liked those plants a lot. And then once that one was stolen, I think I just gave up on life. So,
well, how long have these ones been gone for?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Now we have none.
I can't believe people are stealing. Well, I'm on to Brennan. I'm gonna go suss out his shed because he said before he left that he's going to steal them. He told me he was going to steal them.
Ah, well, maybe we should go have a look.
So it's going to be really funny when I go there to his new workplace.
But it'll be like a two-person move, don't you reckon? Or quite heavy for one person.
If you've got a trailer, you could probably just pick it up and throw it in. Anyway, I'm also sad that our plants are stolen and I don't trust anyone anymore.
Can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things. Anyway, that's 90 seconds of talking about something else. We have a guest today.
We do.
Let's play the guessing game.
Okay.
Okay, guest. You may say hello.
Hello.
Ooh.
I think you have a very distinctive voice.
Do you reckon?
Mm-hmm. How long have you been a member here for, guest?
2 years. Or just over 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she does have a pretty distinct voice, I reckon. I reckon people would have guessed by now.
Do you reckon?
Well, they'll just comment, oh, well done. So everyone knows straight away. So been here for 2 years.
Mm.
Okay, you can introduce yourself.
I'm Melissa, or Mel.
Who joined first? You or Stell?
Stella.
Stell. Yeah. So your beautiful daughter, how old's Stell?
Nearly 24. 24 in March.
How long was she here before she made you come?
Probably a good 6-8 months, because the deal was she started. Mm-hmm. So she came along and she didn't have a job at the time, so I was paying her fees. So the deal was once she found a job and she could pay her own fees, then I had to join.
Ah.
So then she got a job and she was like, right, come on in.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was the deal. Mm.
And did you guys do anything before here exercise-wise?
Oh, I've done lots of things.
You've done lots of things.
We did a couple of – we did a gym at the kids' school at Emmanuel Lutheran College. They had a little gym going there, so we did that. Then we thought, oh, yeah, we've done pretty well there. We're all good to go on our own. So then we went up at Good Life. Then we went from...
How old was... Did Stell... You say keep saying we. Was this both of you together?
Yeah, and then Isaac was also at the gym at the school. And then he left school, went to the army and toddled off. So Stella and I joined Good Life and we were like, oh, we can do all this. And then, you know, it was one of those usual memberships where you pay and you don't go.
And they don't worry about talking to you.
Like that's right. So every now and then it's like, hello. Mm-hmm. No. And then what did we do? Oh, then we joined another gym another guy who used to run the gym at the school, he opened up a gym in the zone here.
Oh, yes.
So we went there for a while and then COVID came. So then that sort of shut down and then I would just walk basically, do a little bit of running if I could. And that was that until I joined up here.
Awesome. Mm. Where do you want to start from, Kenneth? Where do you want to start with now? Do you want to go way back when?
Let's
or?
Go way back, all the way back.
Mm. I was very fit as a kid, like swam competitively, so always swam before school, after school. Was this, you know, twice on a Saturday, competitions all the time, so super fit. Never worried about food at all because you just had to eat, so it was good.
When did you stop doing that? When did you stop competing?
So I stopped swimming about 16, 17.
Yeah.
Because my sister had stopped, so I stopped. And then it was year 12. So, you know, you think, oh, I haven't got time to do that. I need to study. And then I started to notice my weight and think, oh, shit, scales down there. And oh, look. So I think my obsession with weight probably started about then.
when you first started gaining weight after competitive swimming.
Yeah.
That's a thing, hey. Swimmers, I reckon they must just burn so much because they eat like horses at school.
I think I read something about Michael Phelps, who's a very famous American swimmer. He was eating, I want to say it's 12,000 calories a day when he was in his peak, like Olympic
training. How do you even fit that much food just in? Drink it.
Having to eat like pizza and things just to get it in. And then I think like they eat so much that when they stop training, they're still eating that much, you know, and it doesn't take very long to put on that much weight.
One of my friends who's trying to gain weight at the moment, he's eating 6,000 calories a day. And he told me yesterday he has to get up at 4 a.m. for the first meal.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's like a job.
It is. It would be like it, yeah. Mm. And then there's people on the other side that are trying to lose weight. Mm. I would say most people on the other side trying to lose weight. And they're doing the opposite. They're probably just, all they want is food, and they like to lose weight. You can't, all you have is food. Like crazy. Mm. So many people on different sides. Mm. So 16, 17, and then what happened? So just outside of school or still on the inside?
Yeah, probably outside of school. And then I started my nursing, so I went into training in a hospital because it was what you did back then. So didn't really do anything that I can remember. There was no gym, there was no anything. So, and just worked. And then we got married at 22, and I was still pretty obsessed with my weight. Like, I would keep my eyes on those scales and limit my food. Like, it was like, I'm not going to eat lunch today, or I'll eat some crackers today, or, you know, sort of try and keep my weight down.
Did that work? Or were you still gaining at that point?
No, it worked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, nah, not eating that. Nah, not eating that. So I got married at the weight I wanted to be at, put on a bit of weight after marriage. And then I don't even know if I did any exercise. I walked the dog. I had a blue heeler. So he was, you know, had to walk him every day. Walked 5-10 Ks every day with him, no matter what shift I did, whatever it was, you know, come home, walk. So, and just kept my eyes firmly planted on the scales. Got pregnant with Isaac and thought, woohoo, pregnancy, this is great.
Don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and I can get a little bit fatter because I can. So I think I put 20 kilos on with him. And hot chips was my thing. I loved hot chips.
So I would. Candace. Oh, mate. Love if I actually live off hot chips and chicken salt, I would be a happy lady.
Yeah. We had this fish and chip shop that was probably 5 minutes from us, and I would ring Andre and say, whereabouts are you? And he'd go, I'm Jepp's Cross or whatever, you know, half an hour away. And I'd go, can you just swing by the fish and chip shop and get some hot, $2 worth of hot chips? So it was my thing. I loved them. So I just ate whatever I wanted, basically. Put on 20 kilos, had Isaac, and then I was like, oh, my God. So then went, I think I did Weight Watchers, I think, after him. Lost it all, back to where I wanted to be. Had Stella, didn't put on as much because I was like, I'm not doing that all over again. And then was okay. I was sitting around, I was happy, but always wanted to be 10 kilos lighter. It was like, I need to get these 10 kilos off, And then the kids started school, it was kindy in school, and there was a gym right next to the school, so I would drop them off at school, and I only worked part-time, so I'd drop them off at school, swing by the gym, and we would, and there was always the 12-week challenge things, so I did all of that. Spent 2 hours, 3 hours in the gym in the mornings, most mornings.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'd do a spin class, a body, what is it called, where they lift all the weights.
Body pump.
That's it, that class. And then I'd come out of that and go, oh no, I need to do more. So I'd get on the treadmill and run as well. I think I could just run for 15 minutes. So, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Till we moved up here, which was, that was 2009. We moved up here. So I came up here at the weight I wanted to be and fit.
You keep saying... Yep, and then I got back to where I wanted to be. And then, I was the weight I wanted. Where'd that number come from?
I don't know. It was, I think it was.
Was it a number or was it in
how you
felt?
No, it was a number.
Yeah.
It was a number. It was like around the 70 mark, 70, 72, because I felt like I looked good then. I could wear a size pair, like a pair of jeans of size 12.
Yep.
And I'd look in the mirror and go, yep, you look good. or catch myself in a mirror in the shop and go, holy shit, you look good. So I've always been somebody who, like, I don't like myself in a photo. Like, I can't stand that. Like, you look fat, you look whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's always that thing of, nah, not happy with that. Photos are my nightmare. I'm like, I don't like that.
But at that weight, so that number that you had,
that number, I was happy. Feel that. Yeah, I was like, yep, no, looking good. I can look back on photos of me with the kids little and go, yep, that was good. Nah, that was not good. We were, you know, was eating whatever I wanted. I wasn't paying attention. So, I moved up here super fit and then had to work full time. So then there was no gym. There was no... I tried to run in the mornings, but that didn't really work out. So little by little, my mum then got sick. So little by little, there was lots of stress and I just eat was my... I'm a very emotional eater. Like I've always said, I'm an emotional eater. I eat to celebrate, to commiserate everything. If I'm sad, I eat. If I'm happy, I eat. Let's celebrate. Let's buy a whole heap of shit and eat. Or I'm sad. Oh, this is going to make me feel better. Let's buy chocolate and chips and... So, yes, it's taken a while to figure that out.
And so then you didn't do exercise and take care of yourself for how long?
Probably, would have had to have been a good probably 7 years or so. I would walk.
And did you not care? Because your mum was sick and there was lots of stress. Did you not
care? I just, it was like, that can wait. I can just deal with that later.
Do you still weigh yourself?
Yeah, I still weighed myself. And I saw it going up and I was like, it's okay. It's all right. You know, you've moved up here. You're working full time. You've got lots of stress. It's okay. This is all right. I was like, it's okay.
What did you get to?
Ultimately, I got up just over 100 kilos. About the time my mum died, I was 85.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing for me. I associate I need to get back to that because I feel like I can start from there sort of thing. I don't know. It's weird. And then I started to study. After she'd passed away, I thought, right, let's do some study. And I studied my master's degree. And
in?
Cancer nursing. So then it was, I need to eat because I need to write this essay. Andre, can you go to the shops and get me some chocolate?
I need $2 worth of chips.
Yeah, I need, you know, and don't just buy one bar, buy two. And he'd like, Melissa, do you think, I said, don't tell me what I need.
Don't push me, Andre.
Can you just get it?
You don't know what I need.
Exactly. So I think by the time I'd finished, I was up high 90s. And then I was just like, all right, now we need to do something. And so that was when we joined the gym at the school and I got back down to around mid-80s. So I was happy with that. And then it just went all the way back up again. I don't know.
And what happened? Just work and life?
Just work and life and eating too much crap at night and not really caring.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you know, I got to a point, I think I got to a point where I was hitting the 50 mark and I thought, well, you know what, my back is crap. So I'm just never going to be able to be like I was before and I'm 50. So
what's the point?
What's the point? And people who are older get fatter and I'm just going to be one of those people that gets fatter and that's going to be life and your back's going to be crap and that's going to be life and you can just walk.
Were you okay with that?
Not really, because I thought, well, I know lots of people over 50 who aren't like that. So, and then it would get back to the look. I'd have to go somewhere and put something on. I'd go, I've got nothing to wear. Oh, I look disgusting. Or go and try and buy some clothes. Oh, I hated it. I was like, nah. And then so then you'd get motivated and go, right, I'm going to do this. What can I use to do it? I'm going to fast or what can I do? What can I take that's going to make this drop quickly? And I have very quickly learned there is nothing.
So you've tried a lot?
I think I even thought about going back to Weight Watchers, and I can remember being on them when I was younger, and that whole thing of you would go in the evening and weigh yourself at the meeting and you'd all line up and everybody'd Jesus. Be darting off to the toilet to get that last little wee out because you didn't want to get on the scales or you'd eat really well that day. So, and my lunch, I can remember my lunch being 15 rice crackers and a Weight Watchers bar. That was lunch, right? Because that's what I was allowed to eat within my points. So just madness when I look back on it now. Absolute madness. Like, how is that supposed to sustain you? It's madness.
It is.
Madness. So then all the, you know, the 12-week challenges in the gym where you've got this many calories and you have to eat a shake for breakfast and a shake for lunch. I did the lady shakes as well. I was like, right, let's do those.
What's with these fucking terrible names? Lady shakes. The lady Weight shake. Watchers. Like, it's all very, very savvy marketing.
Yeah, very smart.
Targets the, like, in that moment, like, emotional and, you know, like, you need this because you're a lady.
Yeah, lady shakes.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And then what changed?
Coming here, I was, blew me away.
How old were you when you started here?
50. Was I 50? I'm about to turn 53, so yeah. 50-ish, 50.
So you had given up and then...
Yeah, pretty much given up. I was like, yeah. Oh. And then Stella's like, no, you need to come, Mum. And our son Isaac, his fiancée Sarah, she'd been. So she loved it and got super strong. And I was just like, you know what, let's just... I don't want to do nothing, so let's go. So came and joined. And I was blown away at the all different sizes and shapes of people and nobody cared. Like, I was like, wow, nobody cares that, you know, a bigger person has taken their top off, or, you know, like, nobody cares. People are wearing their shorts, and I love that. I was like, you could come in here any size and shape and just do your thing and be supported by this bunch of women who are doing the same thing and working on the same goals. So I loved it, loved it.
So straight away you knew it was a safe place?
Yeah, definitely. It took me a while to... You know, I probably was here 12 months, a good 12 months, I reckon, before I came consistently. So I would come, you know, 2 times a week, and then the next week I'd come 3, and the week after that it'd be 1, and maybe I'd skip a week. And
so you felt safe and supported. What stopped you from being consistent in the first 12 months?
I think it was my back
more
than anything, because the barbells scared the bejeebus out of me. Mm. I was like, oh, I can't lift those. I can't do that. Those movements hurt. Nah, not doing it. So I would look at the workout and go, I can't do that.
So you'd look the night before and go, oh, well, I can't go. Yeah.
I've always looked the night before, and even now I look the night before. The difference is now I go,
I'm going.
But yeah, I would go, I can't do that. I can't squat.
You knew that we would change it for you?
Yeah.
And what, you just didn't want us to change it for you?
I just think I just didn't want to hurt myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do that. So I'm not even going to try, because it's, what if I can't walk tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because I've had back problems since, like, I can vividly remember the first time I moved a patient and hurt my back for the first time, and I was like 19.
Yeah.
And then off work for 3-4 weeks. And then the next big time was Isaac was doing a jump rope for hearts at school. He was in prep, and I was holding Stella. We were in this big stadium, and I was jiggling around with Stella, and the song came on for Shrek. And I bent down with her and I pulled her back up.
Heard it.
And I was like, oh, my God. And I just about crawled to the car, crawled inside the house, said to the kids, you're going to have to get the phone and ring Dad. And that was weeks. And I remember the physio, the doctor sent me off for a scan, and the physio said to me at that point, I think I was, how old have I been? Early 30s. And he said to me, I would be surprised with your back like that. He said, I would be surprised if you're not in a wheelchair by the time you're 40. And I was like,
who the fuck says that to someone?
So I had all these bulging discs, and I was like, oh, God. So it would do this.
Comforting?
Yeah. It would flare up every 5 years or so. I'd get to the point where I would be in bed, can't move, Valium, Endone, and I would crawl back over the next 2 months or so. So it would do that. It would flare every 5 years or so, but then it was flaring more often, and every few months I could feel it, and I was like, this is just not. And then again, I was thinking, well, this is how my back's going to be, because that physio said that to me all those years ago. And yeah, you know, your weight is playing a part. And you can't seem to move that, so this is just how it's going to be. You're just going to have to, you know,
It makes me so sad that there would be so many people still stuck where you were then, and they are either so stubborn or too scared to get help. They just either think that that's who they are now, or they don't even want to try because they could hurt themselves again. It's very sad.
It's pretty hard, I think, once you have assumed that identity. Like, you and I have had a couple of little Barneys over the last couple of years, because you hold on to that quite tightly, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like a defense mechanism, like, don't push me.
Yeah.
Because this is who I am. Yeah. Or if it's, I don't know, if it's like a little bit stubborn, like, don't fucking tell me what to do. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
So why did you, why did you come and try? Was it more just like the push of Stella, like her telling you to do
it? She was like, you know, come along. And then I enjoyed it. And then you start to see other people, you know, improving, losing weight, doing all, and you're like, you know what? I don't see why I can't do that. But I need to get, you know, I need to shift my mindset or get out of my own way, turn my brain off, whatever it is. I need to stop thinking I can't, and, you know, and put yourself in somebody else's hands. So for me, it was like, right. And Stella and I joined up nutrition with Candace. And
so that was the first step. Like, you were pretty inconsistent for about 12 months. Yeah. And then you and Stella decided together to join nutrition.
Yeah, to do the nutrition. So, and even that, we were inconsistent. Like, just, it was a nightmare. Candace was like, hello. And we were like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, she's messaging us again.
Because they obviously live together. Yeah. So I'd message both of them at the same time.
And they talk about it.
Yeah, and they talk about it. And then both message me back at the same, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, so, I want to you.
Yeah.
Know what you do.
And we would eat really well during the day. Like, we'd eat pretty well during the day. And then the nighttime was our thing. We'd have this, we'd get these bowls and we'd have chocolates.
What did you call them? Snack bowls.
Snack bowls. Yeah. You know, we'd sit there and go, snacks. And we got snacks. So it would be whatever we wanted, you know. Chocolate bullets, lollies, whatever. And then we were like, but we've been really good all day.
So
and
we deserve this.
Yeah, we deserve this. So I worked really hard. Or it's Friday. Let's have
It's chips. Monday.
Let's have chips with it.
Today ends with the word day.
I'd have an in-person meeting with them every week or every second week because, like, they were not showing up and not doing their thing. And I'd sit there. We'd sit down outside and they were like two little naughty kids.
Yeah.
Like, how many snack rolls did you have this week? And they'd be like, looking at the ground.
Only seven, this lady.
Yeah.
So we got to the point where you were doing it every day.
Yeah.
And then we got it down to just weekends.
Yeah.
And then we got it down just to Fridays.
Yeah. And it was like, right.
So that was the main instigator with issues with nutrition, were these snack bowls. And then what kept you motivated? Did you start to see a shift in?
Yeah. For me, the motivation was, I'd come back from a holiday, and because I'd said to, and even I think the thing that sparked me off was last year's open, right? So there was the year before I did the open, and I did mostly the foundation stuff. So last year's open, I was like, you know, I really want to do the scaled stuff. I don't want to have to do the foundation stuff. And lo and behold, there were wall walks in again. So I was bear crawling. I was like, all right, fine. Then the next week there was the deadlifts with the burpees. And I was like, no, I want to do the scaled thing. And both of you came up to me and you were like, really? You're going to do the scaled version? Like the scaled weight? And I was like, yeah. And I remember you saying to me, when's the last time you lifted 40 kilos? And I was like,
I remember that conversation.
Oh, I don't know. And like, how's your back going?
Yeah, because like, you were really inconsistent. Then you're like, fuck yeah, competition.
And then
won't deadlifting class. We'll do it for the open.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, well, how's your back going? And I'm like, well, it's niggly, but it's always niggly. And then you were both like, you need to do the foundation. I was like, oh. So then from that on, I was like, fuck this. And I'm like, nah, next
these
year.
Bitches.
I thought next year I need to do all the scaled. So then I was like, right, what do I need to do? Right, I need to do a PT with Candace. I need to take this nutrition shit seriously. So let's just get this done. So I thought in the new year, I think it was, yeah, because then I was like, right, I'm going to get this PT. That was right. Because I'd already said at the end of last year, I want to do a PT with you every year, every start of the next year. Never started. And then the open came. I was like, that's it.
That's so cool that the open was kind of a bit of a catalyst for you to start, like, because you want the next year.
Yeah.
This is very exciting for this year.
I thought, I am not doing foundations next year, except if there's wall walks. I'm screwed.
Hey, we've still got 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Still time.
Yeah, so then I started doing PTs with Candace once a week, and even then it was, I would still come maybe twice a week. And she was like, we need to do three times a week. And I can remember one of the first PTs I did with you, you got me to carry, do a farmer's carry. And they were 10 kilos each, I think. And I picked them up and walked down the driveway and I thought, this is 20 kilos. And there was like this light bulb in my head going, this is how much weight you need to lose. Imagine if you lost this. Like, you're carrying this every single day. So imagine your back if you lost this. I was like, okay, what do we need? We now need to pay attention and, you know, and do this properly. So
I think about that stuff when I piggyback my kid. She's like, she's a bit heavier now. Last time she was like 26 kilos. Mm. And I'm like, people are carrying this around. And it's fucking hard work. Yeah.
And it goes on, it creeps on so slowly.
Don't notice.
That you're like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And you pick things up. And it was those kettlebells. I was like, holy crap. And then another thing was, I came in one day and Candace is saying to me, how many days have you been this week? And I was like, one. And she said, well, I thought you were going to come three. and she's like, what's the problem? I'm like, well, I was going to come in the morning and then I decided to have a bit more time in bed. And so then I was going to come in the afternoon, but then I was busy at work and I couldn't get here. And I said, and really, I just really wanted to go home and watch the sunset. And her face, she was like.
She can't hide that.
She looked at me and she was like, well, don't we all? And I was like.
Oh, I gone and fucked up.
So from then on, I was like, morning. Like,
sorry? But you want to watch a sunset, do you?
So I was like, okay, point taken. I've been told off.
Bit of tough love there.
So yeah, so then I was like, right. So I did Monday, Wednesday, Friday every morning in the morning, like the 5:30 classes. Like, right, let's go. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then
Wait, let's just go back to the sunset thing for a second. What did you think she was going to say? Like, just out of curiosity, like, you could have had a better excuse, Mel. Like, you want to watch this, like,
but it's your
A for honesty, yes. points for honesty. Yeah. But did you think that was a valid thing at that time?
Yes.
The sky was pretty. I needed to get home.
Okay, we can move on. I really wanted to know what you thought she was going to say.
Yeah, the sky was pretty. I was like, I need to get home.
I need to be here for this. Yeah, every day. Like,
this she's, is why she's I'm got not a gym clothes on. She's like, I'm not going to make it.
I can't do it.
This sky is beautiful.
I know.
But sunsets are pretty.
I never forget that.
I'm like, also on that train.
You just did that. Well, don't we all? I was like, whoops.
Okay.
So yeah.
In that moment, did that sort of help you understand how important this stuff is? Is that what it was more like, oh, okay, like I need to take this shit more seriously.
If you're gonna do it, you're gonna need to step this up and actually do what you're asked to do or told to do, you know, like pay attention.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to help you here.
And and that also like understanding how much she truly has your back and has your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Knowing that sort of stuff when you get told off, it's like,
Yeah. Because, like, you know, my back was feeling better. I was trusting her with all of that. And it's like, and the food was okay. And I was like, come on, like just suck it all up. Like, take everything she's got to offer, take it, use it, and let's just see where this can go, you know?
Yeah. So. It's like you said at the beginning of this part of the story is like fully letting yourself be in someone else's hands, like be guided by someone else. And I think that's, even if you don't trust it because you've tried it before and you failed before or whatever, it's fully letting go and like letting someone take care of
you. That's right. And it's just
do what you're told.
And she's an expert. Like, how many times has she done this? Like, and it's working. So,
and you see, that's the thing.
You know, pay attention.
Yeah. You see it on other people. Yeah. So there's no reason why it can't work for you.
Stop doing this. Do not turn your back and go, I don't want to come to this gym anymore. Like, because then it's all over.
Yeah.
Do that and you're gone. Like, this is, you will be that fat 60-year-old then who's can't move.
Yeah.
You know, can't even walk down the beach because her back's completely crap.
Yeah.
So
you started seeing results?
Yeah. So then nutrition. I went three days a week. And then I was like, all right, let's try four. So I'd have the Wednesday off, do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then you start to look at your phone during the day on the Wednesday and go, oh, what did they do? And see people's scores and like, oh, I would have liked to have done that. So then it's like, all right, well, let's try 5 days a week. So then that was that, 5 days a week. And then my nutrition, I just did what I was told, really. Like, you need to eat more vegetables and fruit. And it's easy. Like, it's so easy. Just eat more fruit and vegetables, eat protein and eat. And it's like, and the weight just dropped. I'd be look get on the scales and go, really? Okay. And then you get on another day and you're like, really? Are you sure? Back on? Okay. That's what it says.
So how long have you, what were you, what did you, maybe you're a better one for the numbers. What did she start at?
Just over 100 when we first started. And that was like before last Christmas, not Christmas, just gone the Christmas before. So it's been over a year now. And just before Christmas, your goal was to get to 85.
Yeah.
And you did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's 15 kilos in a year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So,
yeah.
And done it in a healthy way.
Yes.
Not just dropping, like, I'm sure you've lost 15 kilos faster than 12 months.
Yeah.
But understanding that this is like a process and that, you know, you can keep eating the same way for the rest of your life this way. And you can keep exercising this
way. That's right. And that's what I like about it is I'm not doing anything that's not sustainable.
Like, not sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. I can do this for the rest of my life because I've changed the way I eat.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm fasting or weight watching or whatever and going, all right, good, the weight's off. Now I can go back to normal because this is normal now. Like this is normal.
And so before nutrition, when you were scared to come more to hurt your back, you did hurt your back a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's probably why you were scared.
Mm.
And then, so what's different now? You haven't, when was the last time you heard, not saying it's not going to happen again. Mm. You've had a shitty back since you were 19. Yeah. It could happen again.
Yeah.
But how long has it been since you hurt your back and what's different?
Probably haven't heard it. It niggles. Like I said to Candace today, it's a niggly for the last couple of days. But I haven't done anything to it. So it's like this, I don't know. It's like this little thing going, hello.
Don't forget. And I don't
know, I don't know if it's, I see the open coming up and it's my brain going, oi, remember the open's coming. You wanted to achieve something, but I'm just going to put a little thing out there and go, nah, I'm going to hurt you now. So you can just not do it. I don't know what goes on in my head, but anyway, but I haven't heard it. I think once I picked up a sandbag maybe, and it was sore for a couple of days, but it's only sore now. If I do something to it, it's a couple of days.
Yeah.
And I wheat bag it, stretch, Celebrex if I have to, and we move on. And it's kind of like now I tell it to, it's all right, you didn't do anything. You haven't done anything, you're okay. So it just moves on now. It's like this little thing, okay.
When you said earlier there was a few Barneys between you two, was it mainly about pain stuff?
Yeah, we had to have lots of... Mel's very stubborn. Very stubborn lady. I'm very stubborn.
You see like a fucking... Like just a, just a whole eye contact hole.
Literally what it was. Yes, about like lots of... she'd already made her mind up that her back wasn't going to get any better. So we had to have lots of discussions about that. She'd already made her mind up that training 3 times a week was enough. It's like, I'm doing 3, that's great. I'm like, it's good, but you should be here 5 or 6, you know, 3's not enough. So it was just like little things that we had to overcome.
Or I'd come into class and I'd say to Candace, my back's sore, I can't do that. And she'd go, well, what is it out of 10? And I'd go, 2 or 3. She goes, well, it could be 4, so you're doing it. I was like, okay. All right. And then I'd walk out of class fine. I was like, okay, you just... just need to trust her. It's all good.
Yeah. Pain is so interesting, isn't it?
It's,
I find it so tricky. Fascinating.
Mm.
It's really,
very tricky.
Yeah, yeah. It's it just plays tricks, I think, and it just niggles away and goes, "Hey, remember me? Remember we had all these problems?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know that, but we're so much stronger now." It's
Do you feel stronger?
Definitely.
In day to day life, do you feel more mobile? Like, do you feel you can get, you know? I always think about like gross, like people that have bad backs or they can't squat or whatever. Like, how do you get to the bottom of the shelf in the grocery store? Like, you know, that sort of stuff. Do you feel better with that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I, you know, I can walk up a couple of flights of stairs at work and not puff or, you know, those sorts of things.
How do you do that? I still get so puffed. When I walk upstairs, I just don't understand. Yeah, but that's good.
You know, or I'd walk at work. work, I'd walk with somebody and I was puffed talking. And yeah. I was like, oi, this is not good. Like, this is not. And now it's fine now. Obviously, I can't run talking. I look at the girls that can run talking out on the at gym and I'm like, how do you do that?
I'm good for 30 seconds.
I'm gassed here.
Pretend I'm all composed and then it's all downhill from there. And then I got a stitch from talking. Yeah. So what are the goals from here?
Well, I'm... The goal is to do all the scaled in the thing, unless there's wall walks. And just keep going. I want to get down to my magic 70, 72. I realise that that could take a while. But I just... My main thing is to be stronger. I don't want... I want to be a strong 60-year-old or 55-year-old. You know, I'm not going to be... No, I can't do that. No, I can't, you know... One day when I have grandchildren, I'm not going to be the person who can't lift them up or, you know, those sorts of things. I always used to piggyback my kids around. Like, I'd walk down the in the shops and go, right, stand on the stool, let's go up. And I'd like to do that for grand... You know what I mean? I'd like to do the same sorts of things. So I'm not going to be old and fat and tired and cranky and pain. So I'm just not.
And do you see a lot of that with your work? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, I actually, when I walk into work, I see some nurses walking out, and some of them, like, nurses love to eat, right? And we get spoiled. There's chocolates galore from patients, and some of them are huge, and, you know, they walk and they're walking out, and their hips are sore and their bodies are sore, and I'm like, oh, God, like, how old are you? I don't want to be like that. Yeah. So it's really important that I'm not going to be like that. And I also, because I'm a cancer nurse, so what runs through my mind also is I need to be, if I was to get something awful, I need to be in my fittest position to be able to fight that. So when I first started at the place I'm at school, we have these MDT meetings where, you know, say you've got lung cancer and they put all your pictures up, all your images up, and there's all the doctors in the room. And they look at them and they go, yes, you can have chemotherapy or radiation. And it's, oh, what's their history? Have they got diabetes? Have they got heart disease? Have they got this? Have they got that? And that plays a part. Like, that plays a part because people are like, oh, no, he's got too many comorbidities. He's not going to handle that curative intent treatment. We're going to have to give him palliative treatment. And I'm like, I'm not having a bar of that. Like, I want the curative treatment. So if I need to be strong and fit and healthy to get that. So... That's another thing that goes through my mind.
Smart. And I think seeing that firsthand will be...
Yeah. So I need to be... If I have something awful, I need to be in the best physical state I can be in to do whatever I need to do to get to the other side. So...
Very good.
Is a bit morbid, but, you know, it's another thing that plays...
Yeah.
Plays a role.
It's just... Yeah, it should be such a... It's a morbid thought for sure, but it should be such a... Like, it should be an awareness for everyone, regardless of age and where you're at. Like, everyone should just want to be as healthy as they could be at any stage of their life.
That's right.
So, and be able to do anything. Like, we call it in CrossFit general physical preparedness. You just need to be prepared for anything, you know? Like, and that's what we do, and that's why it works so well.
Yeah. So I'll stick around.
I guess we'll keep you
day.
Anything else you got for Mel?
What would be, so go back to when you were struggling the most when you first just started, anyone who feels like they're in that position at the moment, what would you have said to yourself if you could go back and say something?
I would say you need to come, like, you just need to come, no matter what it says or how much your body hurts, you need to come because you guys will change it. And, you know, if you can afford to do those extra things like a PT, even if it's once a fortnight, that stuff is so valuable because it's that one-on-one time. It's toned, it's, you know, geared for you to get the most out of it. So,
and it's that, like, it's not just the, I think for you particularly when you first started, it's not just the exercise that happens in that session, it's the accountability of that. Like, that's firstly another session you get to come to every week. So you go from doing 2 sessions a week to 3 sessions or whatever it is. But it's that person who's like, before every session, I'd go back and check your attendance for the last week and be like, oi, where are you? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Watching fucking sunsets, man. What's your problem?
Like, in that, I think without that accountability, even though it's a gym, we're pretty good at staying on top of people. When you have that one-on-one person, it's like, oh shit, I better not let her down. She's looking out for what I'm doing.
And it's just the, like, you know, you bang on about consistency. And like I said, I was talking to Stella about it the other day and I thought, I wish
I'd... Would you say that we bang on about it often?
Well, surely not.
No.
It's not something we talk about that often, is it?
And I said to Stella, I wish I'd learnt this stuff when I was 25.
Yeah.
Because it's like consistency, it's key. Like in your food, in your training. Like,
it's
not, you know,
and yeah, people, I think the biggest thing for people is if they're not perfect, that's when they fall off.
Yeah.
But it's not about falling off because everyone's going to fall off. It doesn't matter. It's when you get back on that matters. Because people fall off and then they stay off for 2 weeks and they're like, oh, what's getting a bit fat again.
Yeah.
May as well get back on. And then, you know, they do it all again. But if you fall off for one meal rather than one day or 1 week or, you know, a 1 month, that's the thing. It's like not perfection. Everyone wants perfection.
Yeah.
But it's just be consistently okay, not perfect.
And it's amazing how the improvements come. So, like, with nutrition, your weight drops, obviously, but... Like, you know, you can lift a little bit heavier or you can... It's like, holy shit, I actually was able to do that. Or my burpees are slow and ugly, but they're getting a little bit quicker and better, you know, so...
But, like, you can do them to the floor instead of a box now. Yeah. It's all those tiny little things.
So...
You can hang from a bar. Like, there's no way you could have done that 6 months ago or 12 months ago. Yeah,
so all those little things that add up. And you walk out the gym and go, I did that today. It's great. It's
pretty cool. It's very cool.
So, yeah.
Very cool indeed.
Got anything else for her?
I felt like I had something, but it's gone from my brain.
Same.
Now.
I was just thinking the same thing. What was the last thing you just asked her? Or when people first start?
Oh yeah. What would you say to yourself?
Me?
No. I'm just trying to jog my own memory. It's gone.
That was a long time ago, man. I don't have anything for that.
It's gone.
Goals for the future. We talked about that.
No, it's gone.
Gone.
It's gone. It's gone forever.
Do you have anything else you want to say to anyone?
I don't think so. I'm very grateful. Grateful for the place. Grateful for Candace. Like, just and everybody. All the trainers. It's amazing. Like, amazing place you've got here.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah. Don't ever go anywhere. I'll just shut it down because I'll be screwed.
I'll do my best.
We will keep trying.
Yeah, no. It's a great place.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, hey? Mm. Everything you described at the beginning is what I've always wanted it to be. Mm. So that's pretty cool that you got that when you first started. And then once having that more accountability, you got so much more out of it. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That's walking, talking billboard for us, you are.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I sprouted at work. I've got to go to the gym. Like if I have to do an afternoon thing, I'm like, got to go to the gym. Or I walk in late and they go to the gym. I'm like, yep. Been to the gym. And then people go, what gym do you go to? I go, CrossFit Contessa. Oh, shit, you do CrossFit? I'm like, uh-huh. Because, you know, it's a scary thing.
Yeah, it's still got a little bit of a stigma out there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just the bloody interwebs.
Yeah.
Can't stop it, though.
It's very exciting. It's like, I'm obsessed. Somebody said to me at work the other day, because they'd seen the sandbag lift thing. She said to me, I've just got to say, you know, you're doing so well and it's just so impressive. And I said, I'm completely obsessed. I said, I'm obsessed. I look at every CrossFit thing. I want to watch every CrossFit video.
That's awesome.
So completely obsessed.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have a question?
I do.
Oh, did you just get scared when that was that look? Like, you look at
it's the opposite of scary.
Well, you just look at it like she's looking at sunsets again. it was a lot.
You'll have an answer for this because of your $2 hot chip.
Right. Okay.
You know, thing. Are they called potato cakes or potato scallops?
Mm.
What do you call them?
Probably potato cakes, I reckon. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you have them with salt or without salt?
Well, I don't eat them.
Anymore.
Oh, no, I have to have salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken salt or plain salt?
Chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken salt all the way.
We can be friends.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, at the fish and chip shops, potato things?
I think scallops?
Potato scallops.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Is it just potato?
Yeah, it's like deep fried potato. Yeah.
I think they were called scallops at school.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. Cool.
What about you?
I think potato cakes.
Mm-hmm. It's not a fucking cake, guys. Is it? Is it?
It isn't.
It's not a scallop.
It's
not
a scallop. What's a scallop?
Like a little seafood thing.
Yeah.
That's dumb. Yeah. Why is it called either of those things? I think things?
Because they're little circles, and so maybe they're just like scallop.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's my question for the day.
All right. Well, I don't have any. I'm looking forward to watching you do the open this year.
I'm hoping for no wall walks.
Yeah, me also. Me too.
Not that I can do. I can't even move my hand, so that's why I don't want them. I'm like, please,
I just
move.
Hate them. No, they're okay.
We'll see.
They probably will be there.
Mm.
I mean, who knows? It's been 2 years in a row, so they might just make everyone practice and then just throw in something else. They'll probably make us do it onto plates or something this year, Mel. Mm.
Yeah, I'm screwed either that'd way.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? But yes, they looking can do forward them later, to it.
Just not in the first 3 weeks. Later on.
Later on.
You know, later on.
Yeah. Do it later.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming and talking
Thank
to
you.
Us. It was very great.
Proud of you. You've done so good.
Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool what you've achieved. I think that's about it. Good?
Good.
Thanks, Mel.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.